Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to People of Interest on CKUW 95.9 FM. All right, we're just getting settled. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm with Crystal Green, and I'm sorry.
I'm Sheila.
Sheila, good morning. All right, so yesterday. All right, well, first, Crystal Green, you're a local activist and Indigenous person. I first met you at Water Wednesday. Now, you began a petition opposing the West to East pipeline, and of course, you've been vocal about it since. Yesterday, you both attended the Trans-Canada Open House in Kenora. So, tell us about the pipeline, first of all. What is it?
Okay. Well, the Energy East pipeline is a project of the Trans-Canada pipelines, and it is to be passing from Alberta all the way to the East Coast in New Brunswick, and it will be passing through around Winnipeg and through our drinking water at Shoal Lake, Ontario. And because it will be passing very, very close to Shoal Lake, a natural gas pipeline will be converted into another pipeline that will be carrying bitumen from the tar sands. And so it's not a question of if there will be a spill, it's a question of when. And just imagine if this pipeline does spill very close to our water source at Shoal Lake, Ontario. And the reason why, this means a lot to me is because this lake is where my ancestors have lived for thousands of years. And so that lake means a lot to me because as a child, and as a teenager, I spent a lot of my years there. I didn't live there, but it was close enough for me to go back there and spend time there. And so maybe Sheila has a little bit of more knowledge to tell you about the pipeline itself, and I will tell you more about what it was like last night being in Kenora at the Trans-Canada Open House.
Yeah, Sheila?
I don't have a ton of knowledge, but there was a couple of groups, I guess, that were that had come down from Red Lake and that were from Kenora that were giving out information about the pipeline. And one of the things that they brought up was that bitumen is heavy. And so when we asked in the open house, what about a spill and how would you deal with the cleanup? They said, oh, it's like really easy. You know, you just scrape it off the top of the water. But the bitumen is heavy, and it in another spill that happened in the Kalamazoo River in Michigan, like when there was another bitumen spill, all of the oil sank to the bottom of the river. So the conventional cleanup method hasn't worked there. So
right,
that's
which
a concern.
Still cleaning up, apparently. Mm-hmm. That was a few years ago.
Mm-hmm. And the other concern I think that people at the open house raised was just that the pipeline it's not a new pipeline. They're kind of refitting the natural gas pipeline that already exists.
And that's one of their selling points, is to bring up the point that this pipeline will be converted. And so it sounds as though there won't be too much work to be done or too much disruption on the land with the construction of this pipeline. So that is one of the things that they've been telling us.
Right. So now, an open house, in my previous experiences, is just, this is what we're going to do. Any questions? So what was this open house like?
Well, it was pretty much like that. We arrived there, and there was about anywhere from 15 to 20 people there representing TransCanada, ready to guide us through the room and give us information, selling the idea of this pipeline to us. And they were spoon-feeding us this information. And so I gathered a bunch of information, and also when I was in there, I felt like I didn't know what to think, because I knew that these people were simply just the messengers, and I And at one time, as I was recording my experience going through this this open house, there was a woman with Trans Canada. She came to me and she asked me what I was doing with my sound recorder. And I was like, well, I'm just documenting this for my own personal use. So, and she said, well, you know, this is, there are laws in Canada that say you cannot record somebody without their permission. And I said, well, I'm just an individual getting some information for myself. So, but I did record a couple interviews, and I kind of pieced them together.
Wow, that's so offensive. Just on the offense right away.
No kidding. I felt like I was somehow being oppressed and being told, this is the law, you have to obey. Right. And
so what about the other people who were there at the open house? What was their general viewpoint on the project?
A lot of the people that went through there were cottagers. Also, I seen some other First Nations people there as well. I introduced myself to some people that were from Red Lake. And there was also a group of people from Red Lake, a couple different environmental group people that were wanting to come together and do something about opposing this pipeline. And I asked a couple of the people that I interviewed what they thought and what they gathered from the people going there. And a lot of them were pro-pipeline, but some of them were not pro-pipeline, so.
Sheila, was your experience any different, not having a recorder in your hand?
Yeah, I didn't have a recorder. But there, one thing I was talking to someone from Kenora who was part of sort of an environmental group that had come out to just be there and raise questions. She pointed out that it wasn't a forum for dialogue between people. So when you went in, you were directed to an individual. So my experience was very different than Crystal's because I was talking to someone else and they were giving people different information and trying to just handle individuals' questions rather than... So they made the people distributing this counter-information stand outside.
And also, as I was asking them, can I see a detailed map of where this pipeline will pass through Shoal Lake? And they had about 178 pages of satellite images, like, of where this pipeline will be passing through Ontario. And they were missing the entire section from the Manitoba-Ontario border, where Shoal Lake is, all the way up until Kenora. So I could not see a detailed map of where exactly this will be and or is said to be.
Right. So now, in terms of when they could potentially begin this project, what could stand in their way?
Well, I think that what will stand in their way are Indigenous rights and all of the allies that will be standing together to oppose this project. And I think that Indigenous rights are also our last resort to protecting the land, the air, the water for all future generations, the unborn.
Yeah, when or two things to follow up on what you said. One is that about that Indigenous rights piece. Some of the people from Red Lake were really framing their opposition to the pipeline as being in solidarity with the First Nations people in Alberta who are being directly affected by the tar sands. So it's not just the pipeline itself; it's where that oil is coming from. Mm-hmm. And when I asked a couple people about, you know, what about consultation, they said, yeah, this open house is just the first step. They're touring the affected areas with it. But they were very vague about what consultation processes were going to be like and who would be invited to them. So I don't know. But it's not going to be for a couple of years that they would actually get approval, final approval from the Energy Board.
I do have a number here. I just got to pull it out.
Sure.
Okay, so I took a picture of a few of the displays that were at this open house, and there is a timeline for consultation. And the stage that we're at right now is the very preliminary stage, which is not actually a consultation. They're spoon feeding us information. And so I have it right here. Okay, so this year they launched the so-called consultation program, which is the series of open houses, by the fourth quarter. And I'm not sure when the fourth quarter is, it's just according to their thing here. They'll be starting the regulatory applications process. And then by the second quarter in 2015, the National Energy Board will make its decision, and in the fourth quarter of 2015, final regulatory approval will be made of this project. And by 2017, commissioning and in service to Montreal and Quebec City. I'm not sure what that means yet. And in 2018, towards the end of 2018, that's when they expect to commission in service to St. John. So I believe that means that this pipeline they are aiming for will be up and running by 2018, late 2018.
Right.
So that's a bit of time we have to work on this.
Now, we're actually a little over time. That's okay. You also brought some audio that you did take.
Yes.
We could play a minute of it, and then we got to go into our next segment of Groundwire. So should I just start it as is, and we'll play a minute of it? Or should I go to the middle of it?
Well, there's actually some pretty good stuff in there. So if you could play as much as you could, that'd be great.
Okay. Well, we'll play as much as we can, and then we'll post
it online.
The rest of it on our news blog.
Awesome.
Well, thanks for coming in this morning, Crystal and Sheila.
Hi, Crystal. I'm Christine Penner-Polly. I came down from Red Lake to Kenora for the TransCanada information on their event on the Energy East pipeline.
My name's Lawrence Anchkinib. I'm a resident of Red Lake, Ontario, and a Lac Seul First Nation member.
I'm concerned about what the effects of the pipeline on the water and the environment in general, but I'm also very concerned about climate change. This pipeline is going to be transporting tar sands, bitumen through all the provinces from Alberta right to New Brunswick and then shipping it off to China concerns me because that means that there will be more opportunity for tar sands bitumen to be burned and put in the atmosphere.
Most of the people that have left this open house, have you asked them whether they support it or do they oppose it? And what is the consensus so far?
The majority of the people that have come out, and I've spoken to around 30 people today that have come out of the doors and asked them what's their position on the pipeline before they went in and also after they came out. And they say they support it. And this is the reason why. They say that there's no alternative to the pipeline, that there's no energy alternative to the pipeline. And so they're feeling that there's no choice, so that they just have to go with the pipeline because there's no choice being presented.
I've been mostly talking with the folks from TransCanada and trying to get some information. I did have somebody who seemed quite excited about the pipeline, and when I told him it's not necessarily a done deal, he got quite agitated and asked me how I was going to get my plastic milk jug if we didn't have oil. So there are some people who seem to be quite pro-pipeline here. One of the discussions I had with the TransCanada folks is that if they're serious about this pipeline business and about transporting this tar sands oil, and that's sort of their long-term economic plan, then they should be lobbying our government to put a price on carbon because once there's a price on carbon, then they can actually have some long-term sustainability, because right now we're pumping it out of the ground, actually not pumping it in the tar sands, it's being mined there, but it's this orgy of just getting as much oil out as quickly as possible and shipping it all off to China. And to me, that doesn't actually speak for a long-term sustainability for TransCanada or for our resources, which we should be treating as a precious resource they are and not burning them out our tailpipe. Let's be careful with this resource, because it is an important resource and we need to be good stewards of it.
Is there anything else that you want to share about this open house or about the TransCanada pipeline?
Just generally that the open house is not a consultation process, and that people need to be really aware that they need to make sure that their presence is not being taken as consultation, because consultation involves asking people's opinions and presenting information, factual information, on the effects and risks that this pipeline poses, which are not being presented. I think that this open house is pretty much a one-sided, one-way kind of street sort of sale, in that this is the pipeline, it's going to go through and you're going to be happy with it.
What do you foresee some of the challenges up ahead?
Well, I think in building an opposition to this pipeline, I think we're going to have to be able to respond to people's lack of knowledge of the alternatives and clean energy options that exist, not only in Canada, but also in the world that we could borrow from, and that in making this pipeline stop from the tar sands. And I think from a Treaty 3 First Nation member perspective, I think we have to convince our leadership that in solidarity with the First Nations that are being detrimentally affected by the tar sands in Alberta, that we need to support in stopping this pipeline to save lives, to save First Nations life, to save First Nations future, and to respect our treaty rights that are being violated as a result, not only here but in Alberta. And I think in support of those people in Alberta, we need to stop this pipeline.
Well, we're up against the richest industry on the planet. And so those of us that are concerned about preserving a stable climate for our children and grandchildren, who want clean water and clean air for them, need to be persistent. And we need to talk to other Canadians, because, I don't think that it's okay with most Canadians what is happening up in northern Alberta in the tar sands.
So what are some of the ways that people can oppose this pipeline?
They can either link onto the Canadian Council of Canadians website. There's a petition online there. They can become educated about transition initiatives. And transition initiatives are about building self-sustaining communities and green alternatives and being leaders on their own, and in their own homes and in their own houses, and looking for those choices and practicing those choices. And also just looking for more information and educating themselves.
I think talking about it clearly with as many people as you can, and don't just talk about the pipeline, which is important enough as it is, but talk about the tar sands. So many Canadians don't know about the tar sands and what it's doing to the First Nations people in Alberta, what it is doing to the Athabasca River, how it's contaminating such an important water supply. We need to have a conversation about that. Write your member of parliament, write your member of the legislature, get a meeting with them, tell them you're concerned.
Welcome back, everybody. It is 8:45, September 17th, and obviously we had forgone the Ground Wire episode, so I hope you don't mind that. And welcome back, Crystal and Sheila.
Hello.
So I guess a few things now that we have the extra time. I did mention a petition that you had going.
It was a hard copy that the Council of Canadians had given me, and the petition is still circulating online at www.canadians.org, and you can find the link there at canadians.org.
Right, so you got a petition. What else?
And that's to oppose the Energy East pipeline, which is a Trans-Canada project.
That's right. And you had also mentioned a Save Canada campaign.
I don't know much about that. I just know that there's a group and there is a website. If you Google search Save Canada, you should be able to find their website.
Now, in the talk of consultation between Canadian people, Indigenous people, I guess just anybody who lives in this area. Currently, I mean, in my own opinion, it doesn't really include the idea that a project could not exist if, for some reason, it's disagreed upon. Right now, as it stands, it's up to the National Energy Board, and you know, the way the Energy Board is stacked by the current government, these things kind of are almost set in stone. So, in your own opinion, what would an ideal consultation look like?
Well, an ideal consultation, I think, would be initiated by Indigenous peoples, because I think enough of us know about this project and have been wondering, you know, what's going to happen. And how can we oppose this? And so there's a lot of us talking about it. And so now it's time for action and to take whatever steps it is necessary to oppose this pipeline. And so I, you know, this is the first time that I don't know, there's never been another pipeline before that I've opposed around, you know, so close to where we live. So so there's a lot to learn, and I'd like to learn from other people on what they've done in other places.
Right. Now, let's say that the pipeline is approved. And I guess that's not something you would be happy about. But is the possibility of regulation or stricter guidelines or some sort of concession,
safety measures,
mm-hmm. And I mean even less production at the site of the tar sands?
Well, for one thing, this pipeline is going to only encourage more production at the tar sands, which will mean very bad news for our climate. And can you repeat your question? Sorry.
Well, I don't know. Let's say that it gets built. Let's say that it does get built. What can you do then? I mean, yeah, that's kind of a loaded question. Mm-hmm. How about what's next? What are you going to do next?
What will I do next?
Yeah.
Well, I think that I've so far been meeting a few people here and there, and we're all opposed to this. So why not, you know, come together and work together to oppose this? And so I haven't done too many actions on this, just trying to educate myself and talk about it amongst people that I know. So I think the next step is to reach out and talk to more people about it, because the more people that become informed about this, the better, because I haven't been hearing this story in the mainstream media at all. I heard about it when back in early summer, when the plans for this was rolled out to the public by TransCanada, and that's about as much as I've heard from the mainstream media. So I think it's up to the people to educate each other, and that's one thing that we can do.
How about you, Sheila?
I don't know. One thing that I sort of had to add about the consultation thing was just that even though I guess this is just at the open house stage, they've been very poorly advertised. I only found out about it through some friends who had done some digging around, and despite the fact that the pipeline will affect or go through Shoal Lake, where Winnipeg gets our water, there is no consultation in Winnipeg, just in small towns around the city. So, I mean, it almost seems intentional. When we asked one of the representatives who's from Winnipeg about it, he said that...
And also with the missing map of
where this pipeline
will pass through by Shoal Lake. It's a detailed satellite image map, which was missing. And I didn't think that was a coincidence either. And also the TransCanada representative said, well, Winnipeg did kind of have its own open house in Île-de-Chêne. But I said, well, that is a barrier for a lot of people because a lot of people are not going to travel south of Winnipeg to get there. And what about people who don't have vehicles?
You got to use bitumen to get there, I guess. That's what they want. Yeah. All right. Well, I guess that's it. Thanks, guys.
Thank you
for coming in. And is there anything else you wanted to say before we set out?
Nope, that's it. Okay. Thanks for having us.
All right, thanks very much. That's Crystal Green and Sheila. We're going to go to a song. This is Calexico. Man goes where water flows.